All right. We are doing a podcast for the first time in almost a year. I am John. I am your only host who's been on every single episode. With me tonight is Chris Lemke,
who hey, guys, how you doing?
He is a close friend and a host of Ready, Set, Geek, which we at NDC, A, let you do it in our store,
right.
And B...
Eternally grateful, sir. So many.
And B, totally support, because it's awesome, and I got to be on one of the episodes. It was great.
Appreciate it. Killed it.
Yeah. And you last time actually got to be on the other side of the table.
I did. It was interesting having to actually compete and listen to the inane questions that I put everybody else through.
Right.
Different experience. Go and check out our show. We're at NDC, Ready, Set, Geek on Facebook and Twitter. And then you can find us on YouTube with NDC, Ready, Set, Geek. And you can watch me. You haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to say that I won. We're just going to lead with that. It sounds better. Give me good press.
Well, I got to as far as you did, so I mean,
that's true.
You know, and I totally blanked on a couple things.
So you're listening to a couple of losers here on the.
No. We're middle winners.
Oh, okay.
Because we weren't first out. We're
those
middle.
People are
we're
terrible.
Middle winners. That's where I like to put us, middle winner. So, all right. So, a lot of stuff has happened since the last episode. We've had Three Rivers Comic Con, which was a lot of fun.
Huge success.
It was great. Thank you to everyone who came out. We have a great show planned for this year, and more stuff is rolling out. In fact, I am totally blowing off emailing two kind of superstars to do this, because I really want to get back on doing this.
You know what?
And I'm just going to do it tomorrow.
Are more important.
They are.
They're way more important.
They're way more important than some superstar artists.
They don't listen to this, right?
Right?
Okay, just making sure.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
We love them, and they make
true.
Our worlds happen.
We also had Kennywood Comic Con, which was a lot of fun.
Now, what a cool idea that was.
Right? Yeah.
That was neat.
It was kind of neat. It was on Father's Day. It was over at Kennywood Park, and we just kind of had a blast. Like, Kennywood wants to do it again, so we're going to talk to them about it, and as soon as we get more information, we'll let you guys know. But it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. Todd and I became honorary members of the Rebel Legion that day, which I have, like, hanging in my house. My wife's like, what is this thing? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
And I became an honorary member of the Phantom Mile High Club.
There you go.
That's how I got on this podcast.
I guess it's better than the Phantom Exterminator Club. Wait.
That's where you go after the Phantom Mile High Club.
Exterminator Mile High Club? No, that doesn't work either. But
we're going to keep trying. We've got an hour, right?
We'll be fine.
No matter
this
what.
This pod will work. I also got to go to some really cool stuff because my job rules. I got to go to Baltimore Comic Con, which was excellent. That show is always great. Thank you, Mark, Nathan, for putting on an amazing show down there.
You're burying the lead.
Where I totally got to run into Garth Ennis at the bar. That was cool. And I got to go to New York Comic Con a couple weeks ago, and that was super cool. Peter Capaldi touched my shoulder, and for like the next 15 minutes, I was kind of like deer in headlights. Like, oh, he touched my shoulder. He's the doctor. So it was a lot of fun.
He changed all his business cards to say the New Dimension Comics companion now. It's insufferable to say the least.
I am just companion. Although I have pitched to Todd that at some point that he needs to dress like the doctor so I can go as his companion for Halloween, because he has that Peter Capaldi, like young Peter Capaldi hair, you know? Like, that'd be great. So, but
and
anyway.
Amanda would just be there like, yeah, that actually makes sense.
Well, she'd be the other companion.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
We'd both be
dual
there. Like,
companion.
Right, right.
In Pittsburgh, that's a Craigslist ad. That's less of a sci-fi show.
That is true. A lot of other stuff has come out. Defenders came out, which was awesome, which was much better than regular Iron Fist.
Yeah, leaps and bounds by, you know, not being awful.
I didn't know this, but a friend of mine was watching it recently, and he as he was watching it, he was sending me pictures. He's like, did you notice that there's something of everybody's color in every scene that they're in? And I was like,
I didn't know that.
I was like, you're on crack. No. And he sends me pictures, and there's like a picture of Luke Cage. It's like not even his whole body, and there's a yellow mug. And then there's like something with Jessica Jones, there's something blue, and there's something with Daredevil, and it's red. And or if both of them together, there's a red and blue thing. and the artistic Iron Fist was yellow. Oh, show. Or I green. Mean, it was great.
Tells you what a film television geek I am. These opening credits are just absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, I know. I love
it. And like, I really love, everybody goes nuts for the Stranger Things, and you know, it's fantastic. But the vision and the artistry of those, all of these Marvel Netflix shows, I like them better than the shows. I really do.
That's true.
I mean, the shows are fine, but like, man, what a tone that those set.
Oh, right. Especially
right,
like, I think my favorite intro is probably the Daredevil one, and then probably Luke Cage. Like, I really liked Luke Cage's, and I don't know if it's because Gangstar is playing in the background, or if it's just how they shot it and made it
The Luke
work.
Cage is fantastic.
Right. Oh, so good. New York was fun. I got to see a giant pop Lockjaw, which is awesome. He's like as tall as you, which is even cooler.
Not that tall.
It's like 5'8"-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually nailed that.
Boom. Rock and roll.
You can find us at the Kennywood Carnival booth next year.
Inhumans came out, and that was that's been pretty good compared to what I thought I was going to go into.
I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet. I wanted to go do the IMAX release of it.
See, I didn't want to do the IMAX because I knew I would just be disappointed if I watch it in IMAX, because I'm like, it looks like something that it doesn't look like it would be that good in IMAX. And it was like, I watched it on TV and I was like, all right, cool. This is pretty much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But you're jumping into the comic first instead of going real world then comic. You're going comic into the real world. So,
right, but I that's always going to be my complaint with that one is, does it need to necessarily be in the real world? Because the Atlantean world is so rife with everything. You could just build a straight-up Marvel version of Game of Thrones. But I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. It's really high on my list.
Right.
But... word of mouth has not been kind to it.
Everybody I've talked to, it's been a 50-50. You're either like, that was totally not as bad as everybody said it was, or it's, that was crap. And I don't think it was as bad as everybody said it was, but I also understood the Inhumans and knew who they were.
I love the Inhumans.
A lot of people don't know who they are, so they're going into this, and they're like, I don't have issues. Right?
Marvel's coming to get me right now.
Not that I don't have... issues with certain things. Like, I don't think Crystal was written well. Mm-hmm. It's either she's not written well or the actress sucks. It's one of the two. But it was kind of weird that they immediately were like, we're going to do everything we can to make sure they have to really fight to use their powers. Boom. Or we're going to screw up their powers. And then we're going to put them in the real world, and then they're going to find each other, and then they're going to win. And Maximus slowly starts becoming more and more mad. And by the fourth episode, it's like, all right, there's Maximus. That's him. Right.
And what an awesome actor. Everybody knows him from Game of Thrones, but if you ever get a chance, if you haven't watched Misfits, the BBC show, it's on Hulu.
Really?
It is awesome. Awesome. It's five juvenile delinquents who are in like a freak storm and all are granted superpowers.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it's a blast of a show. It's really funny, really dark. There's one character who's like annoying and then you love him, but then he's also annoying. So it really toes.
So it's like
that
real
line.
Life. It's like
yeah,
real
really.
Friends.
It's like everyone here.
And then Spider-Man came out, which was huge. It was very good. We went to see it for your son's
birthday.
It was,
son's
great.
Birthday. His name is Parker. I have a Spider-Man tattoo. It's
what?
A thing.
What? No.
I don't want to shock anybody.
What? Shocker. I see what you did there. I'm trying to think of anything else came out, but it was very good. Most of you nerds who are listening to this probably already saw it and. You know,
yeah,
agree that
on
it was
Blue right now.
Is very good.
Seen it, really owe it to yourself.
I think he is the first actor that played both Peter Parker and like Spider-Man well.
Yeah,
like he played the best doing both. The previous two versions, I thought, Toby did better at just Peter Parker, and I thought that Andrew Garfield was like amazing as just Spider-Man.
Agreed.
But I thought his Peter Parker sucked.
Yeah. A lot of that was the writing,
yeah,
and what they were given.
Yeah, I agree.
And same with the Toby, where they really just, even going back to like the 60s and that initial, you know, 71 issue run that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko did, he was not that insufferably like mopey.
Yeah,
and Mary Jane was was just the most unlikable person in those movies.
Yeah.
It drove me insane. Like, there's nothing saying you're not possessed by an evil spirit or you don't have some sort of, you're just bouncing back and forth between guys.
Right, right. And, I mean, Shadowkin could have been totally.
Yeah, I would. That would have made more sense.
Right.
For that to have happened than anything else. We have people coming in because we're getting ready to film our season finale of Ready, Set, Geek. We're in the same spot.
It's so okay.
Everyone's coming in and giving us looks.
Nah, that's fine. They can talk. Whatever. Hi, Anthony.
I tell you what. Like, so. Parker's birthday movie was Spider-Man, but mine is going to be Thor Ragnarok, and I could not be more excited.
Hi.
How you
We're
doing,
recording
Anthony?
A podcast.
He's humping the air. It's nice.
Kind of humping my shoulder. It's a little awkward.
I am super excited for this film.
Me too. I'm going to a screener on Monday.
Are you really?
Shh.
Thanks, man.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, it's Taika Waititi who's directing this and wrote a lot of the script. And if you haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, this mockumentary about vampires.
No, I haven't seen it.
It is one of the funniest movies in the past like 5-6 years. I know it's on Hulu, and I think I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon Prime too. But go check this film out because they're saying he really took a lot of the sensibilities from that brilliant film, and he put it in here, and it just works. And it's almost it's damn near a comedy, just a straight up comedy.
That's awesome. Let's see. Guardians 2 came out in there,
Guardians 2
was
fantastic. To be able to organically elicit the emotional punch at the end of that.
Yeah.
I know Guardians isn't always right up your alley, but...
No, it's definitely... I feel that movie, those two movies, they really neutered the characters to make them way more kid-friendly, and it was a pitch to, like, our generation's kids... Because we're the guys that are like, hell yeah, I want to go see this movie.
Right.
So we go see this movie, and then for dudes like you that have kids, it's like, this is the one I can take my kid to, you know?
You've met my kid.
Right.
My
kid's got all of them.
My kid is the one who in Thor 2, when we went to the screening,
yeah.
You had to go to the bathroom, and the reporter who was asking us a couple of questions, Parker started, well, this is who Thanos is, and he was 5 at
Dead
that
on.
Point. 6 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, but it was good. It's not bad. I don't think Marvel's ever put out a bad movie.
Yeah. I mean, the low end of the bar, obviously, is Iron Man 2 and Incredible Hulk, which gets a little bit of a bad rap, but it's a better film than we think.
I just recently rewatched the first two phases, and I really enjoyed both of those.
Yeah.
So I enjoy Iron Man 2 more than I enjoy Iron Man 3. Let's just tie
it. I'm the other way, but I'm a big Shane Black fan.
Right.
And, in fact, last night, got some bad news, and I needed to cheer up, and I saw that Monster Squad was on, and I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Jesus.
And that's, like, vintage Shane Black just doing his thing.
So, are you watching Riverdale at all?
I haven't, and I see you post, and I want to
watch man.
It. So finding good time, especially trying to do this show every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It cannibalizes your time.
So... I was catching up on last night's episode this morning, and there are so many Easter eggs in this season that it's, like, unbelievable. Like, this last episode alone, there were Easter eggs for Black Circle, Red Circle, Black Hood, the Ghoulies.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a deep pull.
Right? I was like, did they just say the Ghoulies? And, like, so for those of you who haven't watched it, like, it's obviously, like, the Archie gang in high school and stuff. And Jughead's dad is what's called a Southside Serpent. So they're like the bad guys. They live on the other side of town. So at one point, he has to go live with his dad. So he has to go to this different high school.
His dad's Luke Perry, right?
No, no. No, Jughead's his dad's dad. Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Luke Perry is Archie's dad.
That's right.
He's okay. He's Andrew. Whatever. Whatever his name is. I can't remember at this point. But... Like, he's getting shown around the high school, and the girl that's hanging out with him is a Southside Serpent, and she mentions the other rival gang at the school is the Ghoulies, and I was just like, what? And my wife is like, what is wrong with you? And I'm just like, come on, everybody, join the Ghoulies. And she's like, what are you doing? And I sang the whole song.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. And
that's some recall right
And then
there.
on the way to work, I had to find it. I forget who does it now, But somebody redid the theme song for that Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits record that came out in the 90s. I loved that record so hard. That's why I was like, oh, I love this song. Like, I just started singing it. And somebody like on my post was like, who the hell are the Ghoulies? And I posted a picture of Drac sitting there with Sabrina, and like all the rest of them are sitting behind him. I'm like, the Ghoulies, the Ghoulies. And they were a Hanna-Barbera creation that came out of the Sabrina cartoon that was an offshoot of the Archie cartoon.
Yeah.
So it went Archie, then Sabrina, then the Ghoulies as like these shows from like the 70s.
That's really cool.
And it was awesome. I was just like, oh, this is great. So
you love when shows pay homage to like their roots and stuff like that.
And like I talked to, I'm friends with like the president at Archie and like a lot of dudes that work there. So I always joke with them because like they're going to do the Sabrina show. And I'm like, so how are you going to do like the bestiality with like Satan being a goat and stuff? And they're like, we'll figure that out.
Right. It's going to be a like, really good looking goat with Guy Rider.
Well, I mean, if they can pull off Gorgon, they can totally pull off a man goat.
Is there going to be the talking cat? I just want the talking cat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
ABC show.
I mean, you have to have Salem in there. If you're going to do Sabrina, you have to have Salem.
You know, in the Archie world, that it seemed like it was going to be a joke, but crushed was the Archie zombie.
Afterlife with Archie.
With Archie.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
Man, what an awesome book that was.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you don't realize how much love or how ingrained these characters are to, like, your childhood and how you grew up and just where they exist in the pop culture ethos of our mind.
Oh, yeah.
And to see them go through, like, straight-laced horror.
Yeah.
Was
well, that whole first arc is, like Night of the Living Dead and Pet Sematary.
Right.
And then the second arc is The Shining, for the most part. Like, it's like Walking Dead and The Shining. It's pretty much the whole thing.
I dug the hell out of that. And that could have just been played for laughs.
So good.
But what an awesome show that ended up being.
So, but yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I totally lost my train of thought with that.
Whoops.
Oh, now I remember. So, some of the upcoming events we have coming up in NDC World is Halloween Comics Fest, which is this Saturday. So if you listen to this before Saturday the 28th, good for you. You can learn about this. We're going to have like a lot of cool stuff going on. So I know there's a costume contest that Three Rivers Cosplay is going to help out with here down at C3. And they're going to do a bunch of other cool stuff. And then out at the Mills, we're having Sean Gabarin, who is one of the one of the vice presidents of Action Lab.
He's
one of their head writers. He does Puppet Master. He's also doing this new book it's in the Zombie Tramp universe. It's called Black Betty, that premieres in a Halloween Comics Fest book. And we're bringing out Bob Hack, who does all the art on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So they'll be at the Mills from, I think, 1 to 5-ish ballpark. And they both have a Halloween Comics Fest book that you can get for free, get it signed.
That's awesome. Action Lab's just blowing up right now.
Oh,
Action Lab's so hot right now.
I just talked to Ashley from Jupiter Jet. So for those of you who get the e-blast from NDC, you're going to get a free preview of the book. And it's awesome. I got to flip through it at New York. It's the pitch is Rocketeer meets Kim Possible.
Oh, what a cool idea.
Right?
Yeah. Is it set in that, like, 20s?
I don't think I could really figure out which period it was in. I may have just forgotten.
Okay.
But it really was very well done. They had, like, the physical book premiered at New York Comic Con as an exclusive, and that was the only way to get it before the release date in December.
That's really neat.
So it was
Except if you
want
to be able to look at this premiere in the e-blast.
Yeah, yeah, which is a couple of the pages. It's really cool. They're great to hang out with. Action Lab's a huge supporter of us. We support them as well. All right. I guess we should talk about some comics now.
Woo, comic books.
So much has come out since our last episode that we're just going to kind of skim some highlights. We have like 4 or 5 books here. We're going to talk a little bit about them, and I might talk a little bit about the previous issues that go into it.
Wait, when was your last episode?
Before the con. So it would have been like right around Free Comic Book Day. Like
so
May.
What do you think's going to happen with Captain America and Hail Hydra?
You know what?
I don't know. I'm pretty upset.
I don't think that Secret Empire had even come out yet at that point. So Secret Empire came out. It was pretty good. It was okay.
Didn't
it
stick
took canon. It took too long, in my opinion. It took if it was 8 issues instead of 10, it would have been fine. That's, if it was 6 issues instead of 10, it would have been fine. But there were some really killer issues in there.
Some of the tie-ins were really great. The Black Widow tie-in, the Champions tie-in, I really liked.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it was, you know, typical. Is what
the
you
Captain expect. Marvel tie-ins were great because that's like the only Marvel book I consistently read.
Yeah, that was really cool. The pitch of everything was amazing.
Right. It's just
the
follow
second
through
half
was not
of that
great.
Of that really felt right. like they started with like, hey, look, we're going to be able to do this dichotomy of like where the country could be heading, and we can put that in comics, and then.
Right.
Like, the stuff that was happening in the real world became so much more serious.
Right.
And you're like, we got to pull back because we're comic books, man.
Yeah. Like, it's a little
good guys
nice.
Have
yeah.
to admit at some point, right?
Right. But it was pretty good. It set up a lot of stuff. So we should probably talk about Marvel Legacy then, because that's right where it went into. So you have Legacy 1 sitting in front of you.
I do.
It's still available at every NDC out
overly
there.
Overly shaded Captain America face.
Right? At least he's a good guy again.
Yes. Thank God.
He's not Hydra Cap.
But he is on the run.
He is. And he's young again, which is good.
Which would have been so much more interesting if they had just...
Nah.
That's Hydra Cap my biggest on the run. Thing, but I really dug how... when you get into this book, it's set back in the past of like early scenes of Orson Welles' 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see like some of our major heroes from Marvel are archetypal characters.
Yeah.
That have been going through generations and generations and generations.
Right, like who knew that there was like Star Brands
yeah.
forever? And
or Ghost Riders.
Ghost Riders,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
How
like,
cool that
watching
idea
that Ghost
is.
Rider right. on the Mammoth is pretty sweet.
Yeah. It was a really cool idea. I like where it's going. Young Odin is boss, but
yeah.
we already knew that.
Right.
Phoenix.
I
get into
figured
anything
that,
with so. Celestials.
Uh huh.
I was, that's just an easy way for me to get into
yeah.
stuff. I think I'm a little bit of a Kirby fanboy, but.
No, I love it too. I thought that was probably the best book they put out in a long time in general, like as a whole book and as a book to set off the tone of what they're trying to do. They did it well.
Yes. It was a hard reset.
Yeah.
Because
it has like little dabs of everything. Like you see Hulk in there. You see Captain America. You see Logan Wolverine, not old man Logan Wolverine,
right.
which is cool. There's just a lot of good stuff in there, and it's a solid, solid book, and that's why I like it. So
I'm
if you haven't checked it out,
some of the generations.
Oh yeah,
some of them were really good. A lot of them were like, what?
They were none of them I thought sucked, but there were definitely some that I was
about
like
the Spider-Man one. But I'm
yeah,
I'm
just, the Spider-Man one wasn't super great. The Wolverine one wasn't super
no.
great.
Hulk one was okay.
Hulk one I really liked
yeah.
actually because like you know Amadeus Cho went from going this is a gift to this is a curse,
right?
You know, and he really I think. Understood the character better, and then immediately after that, it's like, oh, we're sending you to Scar. It's like, oh, shit.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. My book I have here is The Mighty Thor 700, which just came out last week by Jason Aaron, and then pretty much like every single artist that's ever done this book, like Walt Simonson, James Heron, like Dave Stewart, Becky Cloonan,
I like her.
Oliver Copiel, like everybody. I love
not,
Becky.
Not
Cloonan.
To tangent. Daniel Acuna too. I like.
Oh
her.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever read Becky Cloonan's American Virgin?
I have. It's
that
really
was,
good.
That was a
oh
cool
yeah,
book.
Yeah.
I dug that.
So it's kind of neat because like it basically puts Odin's son Thor in a how do I become worthy again story where he's protecting the Norns. And it kind of flips to, like, Jane, where she's like, all right, I got to do this thing, but I'm battling the She-Hulk, who's really pissed off and doesn't know what she's doing. And She-Hulk's kind of, like, stuck in rage mode, and she's like, talks like the Hulk, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, I actually liked her transition.
Yeah. And then it's like earlier that day, Jane Foster's like, oh, I got to go get my cancer treatment. Oh, never mind, where's Mjolnir? Got to go do this thing. And look, there's a Marvel value stamp. and then it kicks into like a little bit of War Thor, which is cool. If you don't know that, that's a Volstagg with
yeah, right.
the ultimate Mjolnir, which is awesome. And then it kind of shows you how how Thor became worthy the first time. And this is like one of my favorite panels, like where he's drinking with Atlanteans and they're all like, how is this possible? We breathe water. And he just goes, aye, but Thor breathes mead. Fetch me another faceful. And I'm like, yeah, that's Thor. Pretty much it. And then it goes to like future Thor. Like,
he became worthy when Natalie Portman wanted to bone him.
Well, I'd say that you got to be worthy to do that. Right? So, and then it kind of goes to like future Thor, where like Galactus ends up with the God Killer sword, and then cool Ego Galactus runs into him, and then Ego becomes the Galactus Killer, and like it's even crazier. And then Loki like makes some kind of a means with his actual like father with Laffy. And then you have Throg, the Frog Hell of Thunder, yes, which I totally forgot his name is Simon Walterson. Yeah, because he was a dude turned into a frog.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, see, it's right there. That's the life of hilarious. Walter or Simon Walterson is one such tale, right? So it goes through and it's like just like Thor beating face, and the Norns kind of end up, you know, saying that there's going to be some crazy stuff going on, and you know Odin's son will become worthy again. Jane Foster's probably going to die. And then you see like Malekith at the end, so they kind of like bring a little bit of everybody in there. I really really enjoyed this book, and for those people who, you know, don't like Thor or don't like what they've been doing with Thor for the last couple years, you're gonna like this book. It's very, very, very old school Thor.
I'm a big fan of the Jane Foster Thor. I think that the character's been really interesting. It's been a shame to see the Odin's son Thor have to take such a back seat.
Agreed.
Because he is such a great character. Right. And they've been playing up like him being lost and him trying to find redemption in like all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. I'm over the pity party.
Me too.
I'm over the, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? What am I?
am I just a dude?
You're Thor, man.
I'm
come
not
on.
Thor. Right?
And so this really feels like a return to, we're going to write this universe and we're going to pay off all of these storylines right now.
The only thing I, the first arc before we knew that it was Jane Foster, I thought it was really well done. And I was like, oh, sweet. They brought this new character. They set it up very well. This is going to be great. And then they're like, it's Jane Foster. And I'm like, no. Why? You did this the right way. You built a really good character. And then you just went, nope, Jane Foster. And I'm like, this could have been anybody. This was done the right way. Unlike Riri Williams, where they were just like, oh, this is a high schooler that's really smart, just built a suit and became an Iron Man.
Right.
It's like, it's not like that at all. It's, who is worthy of being Thor?
Right.
And they never really explained what made her worthy either, which also kind of was a bummer.
There was the Catch-22 and there was a race to get there. But
yeah.
I love the cancer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's horrible thing to
terrible,
say.
Terrible, but yeah.
I really enjoy watching people become emaciated and unable to eat. You know what makes for great entertainment? Chemo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right?
But I'm going to be really excited to see Thor pick up the hammer again.
Me
and become,
too.
You know, what's his name? Thor.
Yeah, not just Odin's son.
Right.
Be Thor. Thor.
Be
again.
Thor. Thor.
I'm really right. It's so Thor. picking up this hammer makes me Thor. anyway, it's
I
a
have
really
a game
good book,
show, folks.
Right. So that's really good. Check out your Marvel Legacy stuff. There's a lot more. I've read a couple of them. They're actually really good. They are kind of course correcting, while keeping the same writing teams. It's not just new jumping on point with the same story. It's these new stories, and all of these characters kind of had this catalyst event that happened at the end of Secret and Empire that made them realize why they weren't as good as the originals. That sounds really terrible, but that's really what happened.
Right.
Or
just the absolute legacy of the cows and the stuff that they've been carrying on.
Yeah.
And the burden, and it's a nice way to pay homage to the fact that there's, you know, 60, 70 years of history.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's really good. I think it's like Marvel finally heading in the right direction. So, all right. So the next big thing that has happened was, DC has done the Dark Knight's Metal book crossovers.
Metal!
It's so metal. This book is starts off. I have Dark Knight's Metal 3 in front of me, just because I needed one to remind me of what's in it. This is probably the funniest.
When you're metal, you don't start with issue one.
This
you
is
start with
such
issue three.
This is such a metal intro because Damian and John Kent are starting a punk band or a metal band, and they're doing the na 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 Batman, but as a punk song. And Lois Lane is
they're
just like
be the newfound glory.
We're here to rock. Oh yeah, they probably could be. But it's pretty crazy. It's the most dark, twisted version of DC that has ever come out, I swear. And there's like a legion of dark universe Batman. So all the minis that all the one shots that come off of this are like the Drown, where it's like it's well, first it's in the universe where the sex roles are flipped. So it's Bryce Wayne.
Yeah.
Right? So Bryce Wayne like ends up taking on Aquawoman. And like,
oh, I get it.
And like, right. So she ends up like merging her DNA with theirs and stuff, and it's all crazy. And then like the Red Death
one,
like right? The Red Death one's awesome because Batman straps the Flash to the front of his Batmobile, but it's got a cosmic treadmill built into it, and he drives it so fast that it ignites the Speed Force, and then he absorbs Barry Allen into him, and he becomes this evil Bat Flash.
I think
that's
I've seen
awesome.
A video like that too.
Right.
there's a lot of absorbing in the videos that I watch.
You watch a lot of videos.
Red Death is the one that I'm on right now.
Right.
Dawnbringer
was really cool too, except that I, as a Green Lantern fan, can't accept that they learned how to break a Green Lantern ring. That's my only thing. But this has been really cool. It's been super dark. It's been very metal.
The Batman Who Laughs.
Yeah.
So cool.
Like, this reminds me, it's like if Ronnie James Dio was to write a Batman storyline, this would be it.
Yeah.
It'd be metal.
And
so
and when you have that team of Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Literally, you tell me, hey, Scott Snyder's got a new book out, and it's going to be, no, I'm good. I'm already buying it.
I'm at least
going
to check it out.
Right.
Let's go check it out together. Right. Like,
but if you dug like American Vampire, it's like a
oh yeah,
like American Vampire into this DC world,
and like it's very a callback to Capullo's like Spawn days too. Like his art style is very very Spawny.
That's right,
in here.
He did Spawn
right?
Like
he was like in the 60s ish ballpark, but man, is that it's so good. It's like an all star writing cast too, because like more guys were writing that, and like some other artists were working on it too. Like some of the artists. I know John Romita Jr. did parts of one, and Dave Finch did some of the one. Like, it's been insane, and it's been hot. Like, everybody's been loving it. It's been a great book. So that shows that you can do a crossover event that doesn't suck if you make it cool.
it's nice. I've fallen behind on pretty much everything DC.
Mm-hmm.
And Metal was like, okay, I'm going to pick this up, and this is going to be my thing. And I wasn't lost. I wasn't, thrown asunder by all this other stuff. I was just able to pick up this book and go. Mm-hmm. And even with, like, the tie-ins and stuff and playing into the other universes,
right.
Everything's been really made for people to just come in and enjoy this book right off the press.
Right. Check out Dark Days Metal. Check out Dark Knights Metal. Check out everything DC's putting out. They do a really great job right now. A lot of their writing's been really solid. So I'm going to jump to Aftershock Publishing, and Garth Ennis and Russ Braun's Jimmy's Bastards. So I forgot that Russ Braun did the art for this, and I'm like, oh, it's the boys.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I knew I liked that
so
art
everybody
from somewhere.
Everybody looks like Simon Pegg.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that guy kind of does. So for
I
those of you,
when artists
are you reading are, this? I told you
I,
about
I,
this,
you
but you're
told
not
me
reading.
About it. It's on my list.
Okay. So this book is for those of you who want to know, and I'm going to tell you anyway. Imagine James Bond having illegitimate children with every woman he's ever slept with ever, and then imagine them joining together and making a cult to come back and kill him, because that's what this book is.
It's the coolest concept,
right?
And it's so just out there.
So like
this is Ennis, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so like the regent, who's the James Bond character, is like this total arrogant playboy douchebag. It's beautiful. His new partner wants nothing to do with him. There's all kinds of like awesome, like ridiculous jokes in here. It's funny, it's witty, and it's very action packed and entertaining. It's actually kind of funny because like the newest issue I just read yesterday, issue 4, and in it, this is how crazy this book gets. In that book, the kids, the bastards, end up somehow making everyone except for his gene pool switch sexes. So like all the women all of a sudden grow penises, all the men grow boobs and a vagina.
I've seen a video like that.
Right? Except for their people, like their that gene line. So he's like, I'm unchanged, and the other one's like, I'm unchanged. But they don't draw that line yet.
Right.
And so like in that one they finally reveal to him that these are his kids. And he's just like, I didn't really care to know you anyway.
Right.
And it goes crazy. But there's like this one panel that is so Russ Braun that it reminds me of Boys so bad in issue 4, where after all the sex change happens, there's like women like peeing in a fountain and like just dudes like fondling each other. And it's very awkward. And I'm just like, that's pretty much what would happen.
Yeah.
Like what would actually happen. And it's just very, very weird. I love this book. I can't recommend it enough. If you like adult humor, if you like James Bond, if you just if you like Archer, this book would be for you. Like, it's very, very, very fun.
This looks great, and I love pretty much anything Ennis's done.
Yeah, when I met him, I sung the praises of this book to him at the bar, and then I bought him a beer. And he was like, oh, thanks, man, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then I talked to Russ Braun at New York, and I was like, dude, this book's amazing. And he's like, thank you. So he was like, wait till issue 4 comes out. I was like, all right. And then I did. I was like, oh, so so good. I can't wait to see how it goes, but it keeps going. Aftershock's been putting out a lot of great stuff, like Animosity, Alters, Black Eye Kids, Rough Riders, which Pat Olaf does the art for.
Nice.
Actually, a lot of those guys came out to our Ohio store one night on the Aftershock tour, and they hung out and met a bunch of fans. It was really cool. So we had like Joe Pruitt and Paul Jenkins and Pat Olaf in the store.
Jenkins is the man.
Oh my God, he was telling me so many awesome stories about Marvel, like when he did the Marvel Knights stuff.
Uh-huh.
That I was like, so pretty much where they're at now. He's like, yeah. And then we bonded over people who have intimate times with sheep jokes. So it was a fun time.
I had a whole segment about that on the show once.
My last book, because I'm trying to catch up with these so that I can talk to you guys about books weekly again, or bare minimum biweekly again.
Yeah, you just played a pun into your book.
Word. Is Image's Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Yes.
So this is the ending, the conclusion issue, and this book has been such a trip.
It's not ending, is it?
It's the first
end of the first arc.
I think it's done.
No.
And then they're gonna do like another mini later.
Okay.
Like this is the first mini that's done.
Okay.
And I got to meet the creative team of this at New York too, and they were awesome guys, and we just joked the whole time. But this book is basically a naked dude who fights bears.
I'm telling
protecting
you,
a forest.
If you ever watched, either watched or read the book of Axe Cop.
Yes.
It kind of has that
vibe. Yeah, it does.
And even with this, like Axe Cop was voiced by, Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. And this is like a really in shape version of Ron Swanson. And I'm telling you, this book is an absolute delight. John, you recommended this to me, and I went home and I had got the first two issues, and I texted you immediately after like 5 pages of the first one. And I was like, what is this? This is amazing.
I'm pretty sure all I reply back with, told you so.
Yeah. Which you do for most things that you recommend.
Right. Like in issue two, you have like the pig warlock, like pig guy warlock.
It's just wonderfully absurd.
It is. There's so many like awkward moments in this, like where he's naked and he's not naked, and then when he is naked, they like pixel it out. So it's like
it pixel
really
it
funny.
Out to like his shins.
And they even do it when he's a baby.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But you can pick up the graphic novel in December. December 6th is when that comes out. Or you can pick up issues 1 through 5 at your local NDC now because it's awesome and you should. All right. So we still got some time. So what do you want to talk about? Why don't you talk about your show a little more so people understand it a little more?
Well, we are getting ready to wrap up season one. Mm-hmm. What's that time today?
In like 20 minutes, like you're going to start wrapping
minutes,
that
we're
up.
Gonna start,
yeah.
We did an initial eight run season. We're kind of mm-hmm. doing the whole BBC thing where we're doing a short season one, and then we're going to do a Christmas special, which will time out for Star Wars Last Jedi.
Right.
I'm hearing that's going to be a pretty big deal.
I hear there's some kind of new Wookiee.
Nailed it. That was so spot on. I owe Lucasfilm.
That really
money.
Was. That was really good. I was like, what the hell is a Porg? Like,
and
like, because I had gotten a list of like toys to order, but it didn't have pictures. And I'm like, what's a Porg? I'm like, man, whatever, I'm bored to order it. And then I finally see what it is, and then all the Porg memes started coming out, and I'm just like, this is either gonna be awesome or terrible. Like, I very much so have that, oh, please do not Jar Jar Binks this.
I don't see it.
I don't see it either, but
I love this writer-director who's doing it. Yeah. Rian Johnson is one of my favorite people who's working in the medium right now. Like, I want him and Alex Garland to do. Alex Garland is the writer from the Carl Urban Dredd movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That movie was great. He wrote the novelization of he wrote the novel The Beach.
Oh, okay.
Which was a terrible movie, but great book.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Ex Machina.
The movie or the
book?
Oh, awesome.
Like, he's one of the best people working in sci-fi today.
That's awesome.
Anything that guy. He also wrote Sunshine with Danny Boyle.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a really underrated sci-fi movie. So, but really excited for Star Wars. So we're going to be, like, the week before, we're going to do a big Star Wars extravaganza to really pump up interest. We're going to try to give them, our boost.
Right.
Make sure people know about this film that's coming out. And we don't want to capitalize or anything like that. And then we're going to be coming back here in late January after the holidays, and we're going to be starting season two.
Sweet.
And, New Dimension Comics has been absolutely awesome. John and Todd have been so gracious with their space and their name, and we make sure to sully it on every opportunity possible.
And we thank you.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
thank you.
It's been fun. We like to do fun things.
We do. It's just a fun, like, geek pop culture, it's a debate show, it's an improv show, and then it's a game show at its heart.
It's true. It's very much so like if you ever wanted to mix some kind of nerd talk show with Family Feud, that's pretty much what you have here.
That's what we're trying
and
to
it's,
do.
It's and very fun. It's I think I kind of nailed it right there.
Yeah.
Actually, I was like, it's like Talking Dead meets Family Feud, and then everybody's gonna be like, what? And then when you get into it, and you have those when you have Talking Dead and you have like Kirkman and like Kevin Smith and like somebody else all on it and they're all like just talking.
Right.
That's really what the vibe of most of the show is. And it's great because you get to hear like some of the most random stuff because you pull like these crazy, crazy things out of your brain and just spew it at people. And then they have to talk about it.
If you saw Chip 2 weeks ago, he had a pitch. It was reboot a video game movie.
Right. This was great.
And I
totally was on board for this.
He pitched Super Mario Brothers, and he pitched it as a Mario Kart movie directed by Michael Bay and starring basically the cast of Fast and the Furious.
I know. I was like, that's brilliant.
One of my favorite parts was because we time all of our rounds, and he pitched that Bowser was going to be basically like this Jason Statham character who was like the villain who ends up joining the team. And then we called time on him. And he goes, yeah, and Toad's really the master villain. We're like, what? You can't just slide that in.
What?
You can't slide that in on us.
Right.
So, it's fun like that. It's absurd like that. You know,
right.
Last week we talked about who was the biggest Oscar snub. We talked about what was the most evil corporation.
Oh. Which one? Oh, nice.
Thank
yeah.
you. That was my pick.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and then my co-host ended up winning the entire show because I said Trivial Pursuit
go,
was
Bill.
The worst board game. And I'm going to keep making excuses for it.
I will say that I don't actually agree with Monopoly being the worst board game ever. I think
but that's where the game show element is because
we
poll all of our final questions.
Right.
And that's going to be the most recognizable game, so that's what people are going to say.
Right.
And I totally brain froze.
Oh.
Trivial Pursuit, and then it cost me the bragging rights.
Oh.
But
I actually think Trivial Pursuit's a worse game in my brain. Like in my mind.
I would have so much fun doing it. And if you get a chance to check us out, please do.
Because even on the pilot, when I got to be on it, like I totally ripped apart Dave's, like we had to talk about like what fictional planet would you like to
vacation
or world
to.
World would you like to vacation to? And my pitch was for
this
the Star
is,
Trek
Dave
universe
Frischhorn from the Cocky Cock, which is a fun podcast.
Oh, it's great. And he had pitched Scarif from Rogue One. And if like, you know, I pitch like Star Trek because it's like a peaceful utopia and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And you still get fights and everything like that. But then I totally ripped apart Scarif because I was like, so basically it's Druidia from Spaceballs.
Right.
And as soon as I did that, you and Bill had this look on your face like, holy shit.
It destroyed it. And that's sort of the basis. If you get that one argument, you just can't recover from it. You can't recover from it. You ended up winning that argument, too.
I did.
You won it for tearing down everybody else's and also saying, look, if William Shatner can have sex with hot aliens and that, I think I'm going to be okay.
Right? Because I'm not a pretty guy.
Hey, Chippum was one with Gilmore Girls being the best TV mom.
That's true.
Because you can go and eat donuts and drink coffee all day and never
at Luke's,
gain weight.
Yeah, and be at Luke's.
I'm like,
hold
on.
Luke's Diner. Luke's Diner was both used as a pro and con.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
with no follow-up arguments, just Luke's Diner
just
being
Luke's
thrown
Diner.
Around back and forth.
Yep, everybody just used it. Luke's Diner. It's like, well, yeah, Luke's Diner.
We're going to get Todd on at some point.
Nice. He's going to be so screwed.
I know.
He's going to be like, can all my questions be from like 1986?
I'm just going to have pre-recorded the Billy Madison. We are now dumber from having heard this answer. Like, Todd, I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but first.
Right. He's going to be fine, but it's going to be really funny because like.
I'm just going to get him drunk first.
He's so busy doing work that he doesn't like catch up on a lot of stuff. Like he's like. Like he and I always have this conversation about I can't talk about CW shows or Netflix shows around him and Amanda because they're so far behind. Like they're on Flash season one right now. You know, like
that's the only
how far
one I keep up to date with because my son and I watch it.
It's great.
I was
and actually
about the
like
irony of I'm writing and running this show based on, you know, geek culture and pop culture, and I'm so behind on everything because I'm running and writing this show based on the culture.
Oh man. But it's been great. The show's been really fun. We've had a lot of cool people on it, and I really think you did a good job. And
thanks, man.
You know,
appreciate it.
We hope for the best, and we're gonna have you guys at Three Rivers this year. It's gonna be cool, and you guys are always welcome to come and hang out.
Yeah, we'll be loud and crass and make sure that everybody knows exactly who the hell we are.
I'm gonna yell at you about this thing. What? Stop it!
Listen up.
Listen up, douchebag. This is how it really is.
Every argument needs to open up that way.
Right.
I was going to say presidential arguments are about to open up that way. So.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So, but yeah, like, so that's pretty much it. We're just under an hour. That's cool. But thanks for listening and make sure you go check out your local NDC for some awesome stuff. We're going to try to keep doing these more often again because we kind of got out of it for a while and I'm really sad about that. And that's one of my things. It's one of my early New Year's resolutions is to do more Toddcasting.
It's an awesome venue and it's a fun show. So I know that having listened to it from before, I know that I would like to hear more of them.
Awesome.
Especially
thank
the
you.
Ones that I'm on.
Read more comics more frequently, and we'll make this
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going on hiatus, and I'm going to pull your like vacation.
Oh, nice.
Which was my favorite. Goes, hey man, what are you doing? Because I'm on vacation. I'm like, whoa, where are you at? He goes, I literally just got like 3 boxes of comics, and I'm just reading comics. I'm sorting and reading.
And then I'm watching Marvel, phase two at that point. Yeah. I think. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Sounds like the best vacation ever, and I don't know what that says about me.
It was, but it wasn't, because now I'm like, shit, now I got to do all this to my Magic cards. So where's my next vacation? You know, so it's a lot of fun. Yeah, but like I totally did that, and then I took all the books I didn't want to the Geek Flea Market we had in Cranberry, which, by the way, is something we do between Memorial Day and Labor Day. We do it once a month. You can get a table for like $10 or $15. I can't remember what it is. And you just sell your geek wares and people come and hang out. And like, I brought 12 short boxes of comics that all had like chunks of runs in it, because I gutted my collection, and I probably gutted it down by half, maybe a third. And I took it up there, and people just dug through it because there were runs in there, and they were like, oh, you have this. And I was like, well, the other 5 issues after that are in here somewhere. And they're like, oh, cool. And they dug in there and they'd find more and more and more. I was like, I don't care. They're $1 a piece. Whatever.
Right.
Go to town.
It was neat because there was toys and there was, you know, fun stuff. And there was, you know, we went up and got some stuff for Parker for, you know, toys and early Christmas shopping. And
yeah, there's some
shoppers. And
one dude had like, he had a bunch of board games. Another guy had like one of the cosplay kitchen guys were there, and they had like old cosplay stuff.
Oh, cool.
One time, and then the Chaos Cupcakes people were there, and they're awesome because they make these like nerd flavored cupcakes. So like there was one called the Incredible Hulk, so it was like green, or it was purple with green icing, so it looked like Hulk on top with
what
the purple pants.
Is this?
Chaos Cupcakes.
Are they in Cranberry?
They're out of Cranberry. Yeah, they're really great people.
I need to do stuff with them.
Yeah, they had like a Batman one and like all this other stuff. It was great.
No
they're
joke.
They're super super cool. And you know, we had Feisty Goblin was there, and they like Jim's a guy I've known him for a couple years, and he basically takes old comics and he turns them into like cool art that's like attached to a wood piece, so you can like hang it and decorate your house. So that's really cool. So you get like some nerd decor. That's what I like to call it.
Yeah, I love that. You've been in my house.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there, you know, and that's kind of a thing that's part of nerd culture now. You know, nerd decor is a thing. You know, there's nerd crafters that make like blankets and pillows and stuff, and you know, 8-bit stuff out of beads.
Yeah, my
really
whole
cool.
bathroom is nerd decor now, and a lot of it's Etsy and stuff like that. My shower curtain.
Yep.
Is Amazing Spider-Man 700 cover.
Yep.
That somebody blew up and made a shower curtain out of my.
Right.
I've got drapes and stuff like this.
I'm a little weirded out by like the 6 toothbrushes though. So
yeah.
You have like a.
I've got
you have
like
the Justice League of toothbrushes because it's like Batman,
and then
Superman,
there's 2
everybody
of us in the house.
Yeah. I'm like, how does Parker know which one to use? He gets the Spider-Man, and yours
are
all DC.
What's nice is whenever I have like a girl that I bring over to the house, she immediately knows that I'm not like hiding a wife or anything. I'm like, oh, look at your house. It looks like
a comic book store threw up in here.
I gotta go.
The living room, it's kind of nice because you have all this LSU stuff. And then like as soon as you cross that threshold, it's like, oh,
film and comics, baby.
Oh,
movies. Film and comics everywhere.
Oh, I just remember like the first time I used the bathroom in your house and I saw that shower curtain and I was like, that is so awesome.
Did
I was super jealous.
Did you see the sign? I actually got it off Etsy on the back end of the other side of the door.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's just Batman taking a shit. It says everybody poops, even Batman. That's my son's
that's awesome.
Favorite thing in the world.
Oh, man. That's funny. Because like, I don't even know if I've seen anything as cool as that. Your bathroom alone is like the coolest part.
It.
Oh, but I have a buddy who had a cooler shower curtain.
Son of a bitch.
And it's only cooler. Listen, this is how funny it is, right? It is the transporter room from the classic Star Trek.
Oh, how cool is
right?
that?
That's what I'm saying.
That's
so
neat.
Cool. Because it's like a stand, like, you know, like his shower is like super low, so like you kind of just walk into it. So it's just funny that you'd walk in there and you'd be like, "Oh, I'm in the transporter."
That's really neat,
right?
Oh, so. Imagine if you slipped and fell, and then like you died, and then people would be like, "Oh no, he just transported."
Oh, he was one of the
I
first.
Went dark.
He was one of the first. There was something wrong. We missed him just by that much.
Damn it, Scotty!
You.
Apparently, Scotty's yelling at himself.
I got on the wrong lock. I'm sorry. I locked onto the wrong one. Oh man. But anyway, thanks for listening, and you know, check out Ready Set Geek, and make sure you stop in your local NDC. And we will see you later.
Bye.